Well, praise the Lord. Truly, 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 there's nothing brave about being or doing life on your own. So if you're a man and it fits, sign up for the Brave Men's Conference. And that is... Oh, thank you, Joshua. My makeup kit. I will be needing that. So do sign up for the Brave Men's Conference. Men, don't wait for the 11th hour to do that. Now, the winter donation drive starts today and runs through the whole month of May. So if you have any warm clothes, that could be a jacket, a blanket, a sweater, please bring them through, drop them in the tent there. We will definitely be distributing them to those in need. We're just about to get into our winter season, and we've got lots of people that can definitely benefit from those extra blankets, extra sweaters, and extra jerseys and coats. Let's make a difference in the lives of people. So if you have some stuff back at your home, please bring it forward and drop it in the tent. If you've come with stuff already because you got the information, you can drop that in the tent as well. We had wonderful two lock-ins Thursday. I saw you on this side. Wednesday night for the girls, 240 girls, and then Thursday night, 160 guys. Yeah, so wonderful. Thanks, parents, for bringing your kids. We trust God did amazing things. So Pastor Walker and Haley send you their love and their greetings. Pastor Walker is still with Pastor Haley there in the U.S., rendering support and helping as she goes through her treatment. This last week, their children, Jessica and Timothy and Hannah, were there with them in Texas. So we thank God. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for continuing to uphold them and to encourage them through this season. God is a good God. Amen. We're going to start a new sermon series based on the book of Proverbs, and today will be the first day. We're going to dedicate the whole month of May to study the book of Proverbs, and I'll give a few instructions later on. So if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 8, and that will be the basis or the launch of our message this morning. And as usual, I like to start by asking a question. And so I have a question this morning that I would like you to reflect on, and but I would also like to use the question as the basis of the rest of my message today. What is the one thing, and it's a dead giveaway, obviously, but what is the one thing that you need if you're ever absolutely not going to mess up your life? What is one thing that you need if you're not going to mess up your life? You're going to live a life that is not just successful, but is significant. And at the end of your life, you look back and say, you know, I, by the grace of God, I ran my race to its fullest. What is the one thing that you need? The book of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings from various authors. You've got Solomon, you've got the wise men, you've got Lamiel, you've got another guy whose name is Aga, who wrote part of the text of the book of Proverbs. Now, the key word in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. That's the key word in the book of Proverbs. And Pastor Walker and Haley wrote this message to us and to me this week. And they said, the combined worldwide spending for education in 1 year is $4.7 trillion. Combined spending on education per annum across the board is $1.7 trillion. Now, this does not include non-academic education, such as seminars, the reading of books, and non-formal education costs. Obviously, we live in a world that values the acquisition of knowledge. Many of us grew up in families where we're taught to value education and the acquisition of degrees and learning. I take note that this last week, several universities in the city conducted their graduation. So if you're here and you graduated, congratulations to you, whether from UNILAST or UNSA or any one of the other universities. So whoever is a graduate, just give them a hand. I'm sure you know yourselves. Congratulations. Now, the truth is that there is value in education. There is value in the acquisition of knowledge. And now, you see, the world talks a lot about science. It talks a lot about facts. And that's what we do when we go to a secular university. That's what we get. We get the scientific evidence. We also get the facts. The facts and the scientific evidence are of utmost and prime importance. in a church, in the community of believers, in the community of faith, what we look for most of the time is moral aptitude. So whereas science and education talks about the facts and the detail of the matter, in the church we speak about moral aptitude. And both of these are important. You need the facts. You need the scientific evidence. You also need the morality. It's good to live a moral life. It's good to live a straight life. It's good to be transparent and to have integrity. However, what the world needs today, may I submit, is wisdom. But what the world needs today is wisdom. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about this, but then I'll just, you know, like the conflicts that are going on around the world. If someone just applied a little bit of wisdom in navigating those situations, some of these global conflicts that kind of bring the whole world to a shutdown, that kind of bring the whole world to a standstill, could be resolved. And oftentimes the conflict that we see could be a result of a lack of wisdom. So this series that we're about to get into is meant to help you gain a better understanding of God's wisdom. We'd like for you to gain a better understanding of the wisdom of God. Because you see, the book of Proverbs is a great source of wisdom from the God of wisdom, who desperately desires to give you wisdom, because he knows that that the world that we live in is desperately in need of wisdom. We need wisdom. I'm telling you, if you looked at your own life, I look at my own life and I realize I need wisdom, and I just can't rely on yesterday's wisdom. I need wisdom for today. I need wisdom for tomorrow. I need wisdom for choices and decisions. And sometimes the choices and decisions I made when I was in my 20s are not necessarily the choices and decisions I'm making when I'm in my 30s. As I'm approaching my 40s, the spectrum of life changes, and I need a new dose of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is a great source of wisdom. And sadly, we live in a world where people want to define truth by their own standards. They want to define truth by their own making. You know, they make it as they go. They make it as life unfolds. But from the Word of God, we see that truth doesn't necessarily come from within us. You know, people say, find the truth within you. Well, truth is that there is no truth within you. You know, just find the truth within you. Well, there is no truth within you. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah that the heart of man is desperately wicked. It's hard to understand. So if it's wicked, it means it's deceptive. And if it's deceptive, it means it's void of truth. There is no truth in you and in me. So where is the source of truth? Well, the source of truth is God. Jesus stood up and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we find God, we find the source to his wisdom. We find the source to his truth. This book is a brilliant book to help us in our journey of finding wisdom. So Proverbs chapter number 8, verse 10 to 17. And then we are going to skip over at verse number 31 to verse number 36. Shall we read? Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I, knowledge, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. For by me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. For by me princes rule and nobles all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. I rejoice in his inhabited world and delighted in the children of men. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear my instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my door. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. So from this text, there are four lessons that we'd like to look at this morning. The first one is the importance of wisdom. The second one is the definition of wisdom. The third lesson is the path of wisdom. And the last lesson is the life of wisdom. So let's begin. Number one, the importance of wisdom. Take a look at verse number 10 and 11. The Bible says, "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare to her." All that you may desire cannot compare to her. Notice the author of this proverb compares wisdom to silver, to gold, and he says to jewels, and he says, all that you may desire is nothing compared with wisdom. Wisdom here is compared to the most desirable emblems of wealth, things that the world seek for. You know, speak to any young man, speak to any young lady, most of them will tell you about acquiring wealth. I think one of the reasons why we go to university is to kind of better our standard of living. And the reason why we want to better our standard of living is because we want to get more money. When we get more money, then we can afford better things. And you can afford an air ticket to Dubai, and you can afford to shop in Louis Vuitton and wear designer shoes and all those kind of things that the world craves for. And you know, at some time you're driving a second-hand Toyota Corolla. Now, because you've been elevated in life, you can walk in a showroom and buy a new car. Don't we desire those? Those are the things that we desire. There's nothing wrong with having ambition, and there's nothing wrong with having desire. But the author of Proverbs says that wisdom is more valuable than all those things. Wisdom is more important than wealth. Wisdom is more important than wealth. And just as wealth is an appealing commodity, wisdom is far more greater. And it's far more greater to be desired. Proverbs 16 and verse number 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? Proverbs 16 and verse number 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get insight rather than silver. To get insight rather than silver. Wisdom is a more appealing commodity, more appealing than wealth. And sometimes, you know, in a church like this one, we all have different things that appeal to us. You know, maybe what appeals to you is the latest Range Rover, I don't even know what it's called. Or maybe what appeals to you is a Fortuna. Or maybe what appeals to you is the Toyota VX or GX, you know, and all these wonderful things that appeal to us. But the Bible says that wisdom is to be desired far much more than those things that are calling out for our attention. And then you see, wisdom is also like a building or a house, a place of safety. You know, our homes are places of safety. I feel safe when I'm at home. I was telling my wife yesterday, we're driving back home from a wedding, and I said, you know what, it's good to be going back home. I love my home. It's a place of safety. I'm comfortable. I'm safe. So wisdom is a place of safety. But also, wisdom is a place that is practical and useful. And a home is a place which is practical and useful. I hope your home is practical and useful. My home is practical and useful. It has rooms which we use for certain things. You know, there's rooms where we cook. There's rooms where we clean up. There's rooms where we just rest. There's rooms where we do certain things. And there's a room specifically designed to give me a chance to work. I was working on this sermon in one of those rooms yesterday and the other day. So a home is a place that is practical. It is also useful. But also a home is a place of structure. You got to be structured. The home is structured. This is why we don't build our homes haphazardly. This is why you don't lay your bed in the kitchen. And, you know, I hope you don't lay your bed in the kitchen. You know, this is why you don't take your stove to your bedroom. Now, I understand if you live in a one-room place, everything is everywhere. And I've been in that space before in my life. But when you have a home which is fully structured, everything is in its right place. Everything is, you don't expect to find a fork and knife in the drawers where you're putting your socks and your underwear. It's structure. So a home is a place of structure. And wisdom, the Bible says, wisdom is not only practical and useful, wisdom not only brings about safety, wisdom brings about structure. There are lots of people whose lives are unstructured. You know, you are unilas. Let me put it this way. You were at UNILAS in 2017. You were studying law. We meet you in 2020. No, I left UNILAS. I went to UNSA. I went to study for business administration. Then we meet you in 2022. No, I didn't finish. I'm now at Cavendish. I'm just studying architecture. And then we meet you next year. No, I left. I went to Malaysia. I went to study actuarial sciences. Like, what's going on in your life? You're just all over. There's a lack of structure. And there's lots of people that live a life that is unstructured. And one of the reasons why they live their lives that way is because they lack wisdom. Look at Proverbs 24 and verse number 3 to 6. Proverbs 24, verse number 3 to 6. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established, it is grounded. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Now, of course, it's speaking about, it uses the allegory of a home, but it uses metaphoric language to communicate a truth. Wisdom will cause you to be established. Wisdom will put the right things in the right place in your heart so that you don't have socks in the kitchen and you don't have forks and knives in the place where your socks and your underwear are supposed to be. Wisdom brings structure in your life. What else does it say? It says, the wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge master their strength. Verse number 6, surely you need guidance to wage war. You need guidance to wage war. And victory is won through many advisors. Wisdom brings about safety. Wisdom is practical. Wisdom is useful. Wisdom brings about structure. Wisdom helps us to structure our lives. But also, you see, wisdom is an invaluable asset. An invaluable asset. Of all the things that you get, the Bible says, get wisdom. And we all have something that we value the most. Something that we treasure. Something that, you know, is priceless to us. You know, that one thing that if your house caught fire, you're going to run back in and bring it out. Now, I'm not talking about a person, because some of you say, oh, I'll go run back and bring out my daughter or bring out my son. They'll be out already. Then you realize, oh, there's that one thing that I need to go and bring out of us. That invaluable thing. And you know, we or in our homes, we have these mementos that are passed on from generation to generation. Perhaps maybe your great-grandmother used it, and she passed on to her grandmother. And it's something that you treasure. You can't even put value to it. You can't sell it. The Bible says that wisdom is an invaluable asset. Proverbs 23 and verse number 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. This is something that you cannot afford to let go of. Once you get a hold of it, don't throw it away. Buy the truth. Buy wisdom. Buy instruction. Buy insight. And never sell it. It doesn't matter who comes knocking at your door. You have that one thing that you say, no matter what you offer me, even if you offered me $1 million, I'm not going to sell this to you. Let that one thing in your life be wisdom. And also, we see from Scripture that wisdom is like food. It sustains our lives. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 13 and 14. Proverbs 24, verse 13 and 24. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Now, obviously, again, using metaphoric language, it talks about honey. And it's not just talking about eating honey because honey is good, but it's really using honey as a metaphor for food. It says, you know, eat honey because honey is good. In other words, eat food. Have a healthy, balanced diet. What is good for breakfast, what is good for lunch, what is good for supper, what is good in between. Have a healthy, balanced diet. And just as you take in a healthy, balanced diet, you know what to eat and what not to eat, so should you take in wisdom. Why? Because a healthy, balanced diet sustains you. A healthy, balanced diet sustains you. When you eat aright, when you apportion your food rightly, your life will be sustained. The scripture says, when you acquire wisdom, wisdom will sustain your life. Just like food sustains our lives, wisdom sustains our lives. So that is the importance of wisdom. Wisdom is a valuable asset. Wisdom is like food, it sustains us. Wisdom is like a building, it provides structure in our lives. Wisdom is more important than wealth. Let's now look at the definition of wisdom. What is the definition of wisdom? Notice verse number 12 and 14. Verse number 12 and 14. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. I fear the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. Now, in the Bible, wisdom is always God-oriented. It is always God-oriented, but also it is practical. Biblical wisdom is God-oriented. Biblical wisdom is practical. Now, biblical wisdom does not always or entirely coextensive with knowledge. It's not always coextensive with knowledge. Now, that means that one can be very knowledgeable, but also be devoid of wisdom. We know lots of people who have accolades and degrees, and they've been to the best universities in the world. They're very knowledgeable, but they're very devoid of wisdom. And so, in the Bible, there is a distinction between knowledge and wisdom. And sometimes you find that the most knowledgeable people are the ones who make the most debase of decisions. You'll be amazed at some of the things that knowledgeable people do, or some of the things that knowledgeable people say. So, just because you have knowledge, it doesn't necessarily equate into wisdom. You see, wisdom is the right use of one's knowledge. This is why it's called the application of knowledge. It is the right use of one's knowledge. It is the application of insight and skill for the glory of God. Biblical wisdom originates in the fear of the Lord. Biblical wisdom originates in the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is, you know, defined and finds its full expression in a relationship with the Lord. Wisdom finds its full expression in a relationship with God. That is the basis and the foundation of wisdom. It's not found in accolades. It's not found in the attainment of great knowledge. Wisdom is found when one has a relationship with God. One theologian put it this way in defining wisdom. He says, wisdom enables one to turn every good thing in life to its rightful purpose. Wisdom enables one to turn every good thing in life to its rightful purpose. It is something more than intellectual excellence, in that it implies a spiritual and a moral quality of heart, will, and life. It is the practical application of knowledge at its best. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge at its best. Notice there, it implies a spiritual, moral quality of heart, will, and life. Wisdom is not something that we say or do. Sometimes people have a lot of wise sayings, and they say them, but they hardly live by them. So wisdom is not just something that we say and do. Wisdom is the way that we say those things, and it's the way that we do those things. Wisdom is the ability to follow through with your actions on the word of God. Not your word. Wisdom is the ability to follow through with your actions on what the word of God says. So therefore, if the word of God says, forgive, and your follow-through must be, forgive. With your actions, I forgive. And when you do that, you are acting in wisdom. You know, if the word of God says, study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, your follow-through must be to study. Don't just show up at the connection group and hoping that you wing it. In fact, don't even show up in an exam hoping that you wing it. Because we kind of do that. We kind of live life hoping that we can just wing it through life. And wisdom cautions us. You cannot wing it. Now, I wonder why people think that they can just wing it through life. You know, I'll just, you know, let me use the vernacular, the word that we use, fialai controller. Fialai sova. Now, what does that mean for those of you that don't understand our vernacular? It means, well, this thing will take care of itself. This thing will sort itself out. That is an unwise way of living life. You can't live life hoping that things will just sort themselves out. You can't live life with the hope that things will just figure themselves out. You have been given responsibility for your life. So lead your life. Sort your life. Don't just sit back there and hope that life will sort itself out. A life of wisdom doesn't just wing things. I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to figure it out. You have the instruction from God's word. You have the instruction from wise counsel. Leave on that instruction. So, and what we get from the text, notice the author of the text uses, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Now that is, again, if you look at it from the Hebrew language, really, what it's basically saying is these three things. Number one, wisdom knows how things really work. Wisdom knows how things really work. Number two, wisdom knows how things or people really are. Throughout the whole book of Proverbs, you will notice how that there are people who are referred to constantly. The sluggard, the lazy man, the wise man, the simple man, the man who takes a walk in the path of a strange woman. He's just taking a walk and he's foolish. And she meets him and she allures him. And she tells him all these impressive stories and he's taken. The man who spends too much time at the bar. You know, you get... I was at the wedding yesterday, like I said, and whoever was like the MC kept on joking. He says, well, tell your neighbor, it's a month end. I don't know why he kept on saying that. But then he said, month end salary, month end salary. Well, it is the month end. For most of you, just these last few days, your accounts were credited with your salary, with your earnings, and the money that you've been working for right through the month. Wisdom knows how things or people really are. So now, the fool, you know, no budget, no plan, and we see this in the book of Proverbs, just goes and spends all his money, just goes and wastes it, and then you wake up on the 14th of May and you're broke, and you're calling your neighbor, or in fact you're calling your cousin, you're calling your aunt, or your meter starts making that noise. You know, those of you that have these prepaid meters, it makes that noise, titi, titi, and it's the 14th of the month. That's indication that it's telling you, I need to be credited. Something is owing. But on the first of the month, you got paid, and you can't quite figure out what happened to your money by the 14th. And as you look at the book, as you read the book of Proverbs, you will see those kind of people. And the lesson is this. It's to encourage you, to admonish you, to avoid being that kind of person. So wisdom knows how things really work. Wisdom knows how things or people really are. Not everybody should be on your calling list. Not everybody should be your friend. You can't hang out with anybody. Billy Bob and Bobby Joe and all these other people. Sometimes you just have to say, well, I'm not going to pick up this call. I can't come to that event. I can't come to that function. Wisdom knows. Wisdom knows that if you have a propensity to certain habits and you're trusting God to help you deal with them, don't go down that path. Don't go down that road. Don't go to ShopRite down a particular aisle if you can't control yourself. Avoid it. Don't even go down a certain aisle. I won't mention the name because last time we did that, we got into trouble. But you all know those places that just kind of draw you. I don't know how I find myself here. Well, you took yourself there. And then you're living and saying, oh, what happened? And then lastly, wisdom knows what to do about it. So wisdom knows how things really work. Wisdom knows how things or people really are. But wisdom knows what to do about it. I'm going to incorporate an accountability partner. I'm going to commit this to prayer. I'm going to study until I break through. I'm going to put these measures and these measures in place to ensure I understand this thing. Wisdom knows what to do. Number three, the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom. Notice verse number 15 to 17 of chapter number 8. He says, "For by me kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." Wisdom will help you make the right judgment call. Wisdom will help you make the right judgment call. But also, this text also refers to the right choices and the right decisions. Whenever it is that I try to give, I haven't really given, but whenever it is that I'm driving with someone who's never driven before, and I'm trying to give them a bit of wisdom and counsel on driving, I tell them, driving is 80% judgment. Maybe I'm wrong. You all can correct me, you know. 20% the practical aspect. It's making a judgment. Stopping where you need to stop. Accelerating where you need to accelerate. Slowing down where you need to slow down. Observing the speed limits. Observing the car behind you. The car in front of you. And all and everything that is within your periphery. That's what driving is. It's making a judgment call. A good driver knows how to make a judgment call. And that's what wisdom is. Wisdom gives us the ability to make the right judgment calls. Look at Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 17. "Whoever heeds instruction is on the path of life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray." Have you noticed that your bad judgment calls not only affect you, they affect others. And here's the thing about driving. When you make a bad judgment call on the road, it doesn't just affect you, it affects others. When you fail to slow down when you need to slow down and you go speeding and you cause a wreck or cause an accident, now there's a long line of traffic. And the doctor that should be rushing to UTH to attend to a medical emergency is stuck. And an important meeting that's supposed to be taking place at 9, that's going to affect the lives of thousands of people, is delayed because you made a wrong judgment call. So your wrong judgment calls affect other people. It says, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. Your choices affect other people. So how do we get wisdom? Now we're talking about the path of wisdom. Well, firstly, is to understand that wisdom loves those who love it. Wisdom loves those who love it. So you need to have a listening ear. Proverbs 22 and verse number 17. "Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise." Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. "Apply your heart to what I teach." God made your ears for hearing. Use them. Now, that's a practical picture of trying to tell you and me, attune your ear to wisdom. And not just the physical ear, but the ear of the heart. Attune your ear to wisdom. Proverbs 18 and verse number 15. "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out." So notice there is a connection between your ear and your heart. You have to go actively seeking for wisdom. Go actively seeking for it. Now there's also severe danger for ignoring wisdom. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse number 10. "Stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path of wisdom. The one who hates correction will die." The one who hates correction will die. Where else do we get wisdom from? From the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Without the fear of the Lord, we will learn nothing from what wisdom has to teach. Without the fear of the Lord, we will learn nothing from what wisdom has to teach. Proverbs 9 and verse number 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So basically what this text is teaching us is that the fear of the Lord is the foundation for true wisdom. All other types of learning are worthless unless built upon a knowledge of the Lord Himself. The fear of the Lord can be defined as this. It is a continual awareness that our loving Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything we say and do. So the fear of the Lord is not dread of fear. It's not dreading of fearing God. The fear of the Lord is an awareness that God is actively involved in my life in a loving way. It's an awareness that God is concerned about what I do. And because I honor Him, I will reciprocate that awareness with my honor and my worship. I'll reciprocate that His observation of my life in my submission and my obedience to Him. In Revelation, it says, I know your works. So really nothing escapes God's attention. God knows what we do. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now what this verse does, this Proverbs 1 verse 7, it gives us added insight. It gives us further perspective. Notice there is a sharp contrast between the wise and the fool. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Meaning that when you fear God, you are already set on the path to wisdom. When you fear God, you are already set on the path to wisdom. So the wise person fears God. The wise person reveres God. The wise person obeys God. Whereas on the other side, the foolish person despises instruction and is not willing to be taught. He's not willing to be taught. You just harden your heart and you won't listen to instruction. The wise person has a firm foundation upon which he has built his life. The fool has no foundation whatsoever. Now, Jesus said in the Gospels, he says that he likened two men. He said, one man built his life upon the rock. Another man built his life on the sand. Notice in the parable of Jesus, the storms came to both men. So just because you fear God doesn't mean storms don't come your way. Just because you reverence God doesn't mean storms won't come your way. Just because you obey God doesn't mean storms won't come your way. In this life, you have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But also the storms of life came to the one whose life was built on the sand. The Bible says when the storms came, the one whose house was built on the rock stood. His house stood. But the one whose life was built on the sand, his house was swept away. When you build your life on the fear of the Lord, when you build your life the structure of God's wisdom, regardless of what comes your way, you will stand. You will stand. When you build your marriage, married couples, when you build your marriage on the rock, on the wisdom that God gives, arguments will come. Days of disappointment will come, but your marriage will stand. The storms come both to the fool and to the wise. The one whose life stands is the one who has built his life on the principles and the word of God, on the wisdom that God gives. Now, you will learn this in this next month that we're going to do. This is why it's important that you attend church every Sunday. It's important that you follow through with the instructions that I will give at the end of the message. You see, there are three schools of wisdom that you can go to. And I advise you to go to all three of them. I went to three schools. You know, there are people who went to Harvard and Yale, and they went to Columbia. Oh, nice, right? Great combination. So there are three schools. Now, those are Ivy League schools. Three schools that you can go to get wisdom. The first school is the school of observation. And Proverbs will tell you a lot about people. It says, go and observe the field of a lazy man. What is it telling you? It's not for you to go and look and say, oh, this is what the lazy look like. Eh? No, it's for you to go and learn. Don't be like him. The school of wisdom, the school of observation in Proverbs will tell you, go and observe the ant. So it's not sitting watching ants. Oh, I wonder what they're doing. Oh, okay. No, it's for you to go and learn. It says the ants gather up in the summer, preparing for the winter. Meaning that if you've got excess now, put aside some for a season of winter. Don't just eat it all. You get your gratuity and you take your entire family to Spain. And you come back and you're broke. Now it's good to go to Spain, but plan for it. Don't be impulsive. Don't eat it all. Throughout the whole scripture, the Lord gives bread to eat and seed to sow. Sow it in God's work. Sow it in an investment account. Sow it in a savings for the future. That's the first place, the school of observation. You see, one of the best ways to learn wisdom is to learn it by observation. Some people say that experience is the best teacher. Well, sometimes experience leaves you with scars. Experience leaves you broken. Experience sometimes can even leave you bitter and disgruntled. So the one who goes to the school of observation looks at what's happening and says, hey, okay, this is what happens when you, you've seen that your relative come home drunk and then they were throwing up the whole night. You look and say, hey, this is not for me. Or you saw that person who just threw away their entire life savings, ruined their marriage, disturbed the life of their children. It's a sign. Don't go down that path. Don't do the same thing. So there's the school of observation. The other one is the school of wise counsel. The school of wise counsel. Wisdom from the saints. Wisdom from the saints. The school of wise counsel. Every time you come to church, you come to the school of wise counsel. Every time that Pastor Walker instructs us here, it's a school of wise counsel. When we tell you sign up for the Character of God course, it's a school of wise counsel. When we tell you go to a connection group, there's other saints there who are filled with the Spirit of God. And the Bible says the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom. You're going to the school of wise counsel. And I wonder why you think you can survive doing life on your own. You were never meant to live life on your own. Run with other believers. And then lastly is the school of God's word. Go to the school of God's word. Take in God's word. And then lastly, the fourth point is the life of wisdom. Look at verse number 31 to 36. Rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. Now these verses carry the idea of security and safety in a world that is constantly uncertain. We live in a world of uncertainty. Wisdom brings stability. Wisdom is a solid foundation upon which we can build our lives. Proverbs 10 verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord adds length to life. In another version, it says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be cut short. God wants you to live a long and a prosperous life. When you make the right decisions, when you make the right judgment call, when you live and order your life by wisdom, you will live long. What are the fruits of wisdom? What does wisdom bring? Wisdom brings happiness. Wisdom brings a life of happiness. Happy is the man who is always reverent. Proverbs 28, verse 14. The man who fears God, the man who honors God, the man who orders his life by wisdom is happy. Number two, wisdom brings a life of contentment. There's a sense of contentment when you order your life in wisdom. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. Who abide in satisfaction, contentment. One of the reasons why perhaps you feel so gutted in the inside is because you lack contentment. You think, if I get another degree, I'll make it. If you're single, you think, if I find a husband, I'll be happy. You think, if I just buy a new car, I'll be happy. Perhaps the reason why you're feeling so empty in the inside is you just lack contentment. Wisdom will bring you a life of contentment. Wisdom also brings a life of security. The fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, Proverbs 14 says. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. A life of security. You will be safe when you order your life in wisdom. And then lastly, a life of hope. A life of hope. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Surely there is a hereafter. This is not all there is to life. This is not all there is to life. And when you order your life by wisdom, you live with that sense and perspective. So what must we do? Three things, real quickly, and we're done. Number one is open the door for wisdom. Only you can open the door for wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Wisdom doesn't come forcing itself in. You have to open the door for it. Right now, wisdom is knocking at your door. Through this sermon, through these words, wisdom is knocking. Are you going to open? Number two, get wisdom. Be deliberate to go and get wisdom. This is what you must do. Proverbs 4, verse 5 to 7. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Get it. Though it costs all you have, get it. Go looking for wisdom. And then lastly, keep wisdom. Keep wisdom. Be careful not to lose it. Proverbs 3 verse 21 says, my son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. It means that there is a possibility that you could lose wisdom. That's why I said earlier on that the wisdom I needed in my 20s is not the wisdom I need in my 40s. So you can't rely on yesterday's wisdom. You must keep it and you must get more. And you must open the door of your heart to it. So, what are some things that we can do to get wisdom, to keep wisdom, and also to open the door to wisdom? Here are a few things. Number one, read a chapter of Proverbs every day for the next 31 days. Today is the 1st of May. By the time we reach 31st of May, you would have read all 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Dedicate time. If you're a couple, read with your wife. Read with your family. We committed with one, so we said we're going to be reading one Proverbs every day, me and her, and we'll be writing down some application points. And to help you do that, we are going to make a downloadable, printable reading plan. We're going to make that available on our social media page. So if you go to our Facebook page at the end of this service, you'll be able to download a printable reading plan that will guide you as you read through the book of Proverbs through the month of May. One Proverbs a day. Now, when you do that, don't just read. Get a journal, get a notebook, get a notepad, get a pen. Write down your reflections. Write down one thing from that you're reading that you're going to do. Remember, wisdom is about taking action. It's not just about listening. You have to take action. Just write down one thing from that particular proverb of what you're going to do. I'll restrain my anger. I'll put a knife on my appetite. Whatever happens. Number two, participate in a connection group during this month. participate in a connection group. If you're not in a connection group, just for the purpose of this study, just find one connection. You visit the connection group table, just join in. Find the connection group that you can join in. You might, you know, just participate in a discussion. Just, please, I implore you, join a connection group. Find a group of people that are studying these topics, that are studying this word, and finding ways in which to apply. Just be a special guest and do it for the next 1 month. Will you commit to doing that? Amen. Please do that. And then number three, read the daily devotional that will be posting on our social, on our Facebook page. We've gathered a group of some of our ministry leaders here, and we'll be writing daily devotions for the next 31 days on the book of Proverbs. Just short nuggets, maximum three paragraphs. Nuggets that we can apply to our daily life. And then lastly, in the book of Proverbs, it's time to look at my makeup. Well, you see, in the book of Proverbs, you will see the wise man, you will see the foolish man, you will see the wicked man, but you will also see the godly man. Our hope is that you'll be able to recognize yourself in it. In the areas where you need to make changes, make the adjustments. Look in the mirror and make the necessary adjustments. In the areas where you need to grow, grow. In the areas where you need to trust for God's help, ask Him to help you. In the areas where you're doing well and you're not, okay, I'm strong, thank the Lord. Praise Him and ask Him to continue to give you the strength to carry on. So what is the one thing that we need to avoid making a mess of our lives? Wisdom. It begins with a life that is fully committed to God through faith in Jesus Christ. In all you're getting, get your degrees, get your car, build your house, have a family. In all you're getting, get wisdom. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, I pray for Miracle Life Family Church. I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray for myself. Lord, we ask that you would help us to gain a heart of wisdom. But Lord, you would fill us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. We are grateful, Lord, that you love us so much to instruct us and to help us. In Jesus' precious name, we pray that this next 1 month will be an opportunity to grow in the wisdom of God. So therefore, we commend ourselves to you now into the word of your grace, which is able to build us up and to give us inheritance amongst those who are sanctified towards our God. We pray this in Jesus' name.